Oh, let's unite our hearts together. Let's come to the Lord in prayer. Dear blessed God, eternal heavenly Father, we come on this thy hallowed day, and in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ unto thee, the transcendent, the glorious, immense, eternal and infinite God. We come unworthy, we come conscious of our sins, of our guilt, of our failings, indeed of our coldness and indifference and proneness to wander from thee. Yet we come to one who is ever faithful, ever gracious, ever good and compassionate, the God of all comfort, the God to whom we may come with boldness and come as a child to a pitying Father. We thank thee for our standing in Christ. We thank thee for the glorious doctrine of adoption, and that we are thy children truly through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. We come confidently unto thee, knowing that if and when we confess our sins, thou art faithful and just to forgive us. And truly the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. How we bless thee for the efficacy of the atoning death and sacrifice of our Saviour. How we praise thee that in him we are complete. We stand without blemish and spot before thee, robed in the imputed righteousness of Christ. How we praise thee for a full and free salvation, a perfect salvation in Jesus Christ our Lord. We bless thee for that one who so willingly left the courts of heaven. He who was rich yet became poor, that we through his poverty might become rich. And oh, what riches, what treasures we have in Jesus Christ our Lord, that we are thy people, the very apple of thine eye, that we are transformed, that we are made alive and quickened, that we are united to Christ by faith, that we are indeed his bride, his church, that he is the head of the church, that he reigns supreme, that he is coming again and has promised to receive us unto himself, having reserved for each of his people a glorious place, a place in his kingdom. O Father, we thank thee. No power in heaven, earth, or hell can prevent us from gathering with the Saviour, being with him eternally, following the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. What comforts we have in Christ. What hopes we have in the glorious salvation he has wrought for us. We thank thee, Lord, for thy faithfulness, thy keeping grace and power. We thank thee we shall be kept unto salvation, to its glorious culmination in gathering at the feet of the Saviour, praising eternally that one who loved us and gave himself for us, and did so so willingly. O Father, we thank thee for the love that moved thee to send him. We bless thee, our Father, that thou hast redeemed us through the work of thy Son, that we are thine now and forever, and blessed, oh, in so many ways, materially, physically, emotionally, mentally, intellectually. We thank thee for those things thou hast revealed to us, for what we know of the realities of the unseen yet eternal realm, or revealed to us by thyself. For flesh and blood hath not revealed these things unto us, nor were we able of our own intellect to search them out and discover them. But, O Lord, thou hast revealed them. Thou hast given us an unerring word. Thou hast blessed us with it, this book, these scriptures in our own tongue and language. And we can look therein and make discoveries new. Oh, we bless thee for the pearls that are laid therein for us to find. Those great promises of thine that all become so relevant and pertinent, supremely when in times of darkness and trial we may see thy love, thy grace, thy wisdom in the things thou hast spoken and revealed. We thank thee we may lay hold upon thy truth and be uplifted out of the pit of despair and darkness. We thank thee for the multitudes that in reading the scripture are so blessed in body, mind, and soul. For it is a divine book, for it is thy word, ever relevant, and addresses and speaks to us in every situation and circumstance of life. We thank thee for it. O Lord, we pray for our nation that would now reject it and despise it for the most part. Lord, be merciful to many, yet we pray, turn hearts unto thyself. Turn men, women, and children away from the propaganda, the empty philosophies and teachings of this world. Lord, we ask that thy light might dawn upon darkened souls and many drawn to the Savior. Come to him whom to know is life itself, a life of meaning and purpose, a life of hope. Oh, we pray for those that are in despair and darkness, and for the empty philosophies that are being presented to them, in which they may put their trust and hope. Lord, turn many, yet we pray. Bless the endeavors of this little church. May it please thee to bless the pastor, his wife, the elders, the deacons, the members, all that attend. May they know thy help and encouragement in days to come. Bless the efforts with the children in the Sunday school. Lord, pour out thy spirit upon those that lead and grant them much encouragement and help. Bring the children in. O Lord, even those from homes where there is no encouragement to come. Have mercy, we pray, upon our children, now being indoctrinated with hellish propaganda in our schools and colleges. O Father, have mercy. Turn these children's hearts unto thyself. Receive them as thou didst when here on earth, O Lord. Bless them. Put thy hand upon them. O forbid them not to come. Let them come and call many to thyself and raise up another generation of thy church and people to continue the witness to the truth and to the glory of our God and our Savior. We commit unto thee those of this fellowship and family members that are sick, that are infirm, that are laid aside. Lord, touch them, draw near to them, encourage them. Bless the dear pastor of this church and his wife, and grant them much strength. Lord, encourage them. May they have the joy of seeing others added to the church. May they see the next generation. May it please thee to keep them and bless them abundantly in their latter days. And, O Father, have mercy upon thy suffering church worldwide, for there are many that are suffering sorely for their faith. Lord, bless them. Provide for them their needs. Draw near to those that are incarcerated in prison cells, isolated from family, from friends, from church itself. Encourage them, Lord. Grant them much to dwell upon. Bring thy word to their remembrance where they are denied the scriptures. Lord, be with them, we pray. sustain them and give them a boldness that might astound those who hold them as captives. We ask, Lord, for thy mercy upon our government, upon the governments of this world, and for those whose hearts are failing them through fear of the things that are coming upon the earth. Lord, may many of them turn away from their despair and darkness and again look into thy word that can give them light and can speak hope and reveal a Saviour who's able to save to the uttermost and bless abundantly. Hear our prayers. Bless the gospel preached this day across our land. May there be great rejoicing in the presence of the angels of heaven as sinners indeed hear the gospel and repent and believe. Hear our prayers for Christ our Saviour's sake. Amen.
Amen.
Now we're turning to Isaiah in chapter 52. Isaiah chapter 52. And this morning, thinking of our circumspect Saviour. Now that word comes from verse 13 of chapter 52. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. I'm going to consider the circumspect, the wise, the expert, for such meanings are within the term that's used and translated prudently. And God says of his Son, prophetically through Isaiah, behold, my servant shall deal circumspectly, wisely, expertly. Indeed, he will be, we might simply say, the perfect Savior. I want just to look at that with you this morning, ever so briefly. He had to be, of course, to be the Savior. He had to be because of the objective that was before him, because of the purpose of what he came to do. Why must he be expert? Why must he be precise? Why must he meet to the letter the terms and conditions for the redemption of men? Well, that's why. For the redemption of men, he had to be circumspect. He could not fail. He could not be diverted. He could not turn. He could not fail to keep the law of God perfectly. He had to be qualified as the perfect Savior. For you notice in verse 15, having said, behold, my servant shall deal prudently. Well, why, verse 15, so shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths at him, for that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. His redemption work would include those from every strata of society. He would save and utterly astonish the wise and kings. He would reach the paupers and the beggars, and he would save wondrously. He would perfectly secure their redemption and salvation, indeed adoption into the family of God. That we hell-deserving sinners, justly condemned by a holy God, may not only be pardoned and reconciled, but blessed with life everlasting. He shall deal prudently. And he had to secure all that God in the terms and conditions of the covenant of peace and redemption with his son, all that was promised to his people, should he, as it were, be a perfect Savior. And we have a perfect Savior. Before looking at various aspects of that perfection, how he negotiated his way as man through life, maintaining uprightness, perfection before his Father, total and perfect obedience to the law, fulfilled the terms and conditions of the covenant. Notice that he would do so in a place where he would receive no encouragement and no help. Look at verse 2 of chapter 53. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. Notice he's referred to or pictured as a tender plant. He's a glorious and perfect Savior and Redeemer. How did he achieve redemption? Well, he had to become one with us. He, one with the Father and the Spirit, one in essence, eternal, infinite, immense God, which stooped down to be man on earth, indeed, as it were, make himself vulnerable to all the enemies of God, to the powers of darkness, for now he takes upon himself a visible form. Now he takes a body. Now the enemies, as it were, can come within time and space and see this one who is determined to save a people. But there are terms and conditions to be met. He will grow as a tender plant. You think of that little plant growing. There was nothing within the ground to help him. He was as a root out of a dry ground. The environment would provide no help to him, no support. There would be nothing to encourage and help him, as it were. No, indeed. Everything would militate against his perfection and obedience to the Father. There would be enemies against him at every step of the way. No, he shall grow up before the Father, but as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry, a barren wasteland, a dry ground. Nothing would help him in his task, in his mission. Everything, as it were, on earth would militate against him. The powers of darkness would be arrayed against him. Why in Revelation, at the very birth of Christ, isn't that picture given of the dragon, as it were, standing before the womb of the church that would bring him forth, ready to attack, using a Herod, slay the infants. Why every step was a step of danger, as it were. The Father would protect him, but then he would reach maturity, and of course he would have to then go out and minister and be publicly identified and recognized. Oh, I'm sure the fellows knew who he was long before then. So behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted
and extolled and be very high. Of those three words or terms, Matthew Henry says, it would be God who would exalt him, man would extol him, and both man and God would see him very high. He would accomplish all that he was sent to do. Now, I want just to take you to some passages then that show how he dealt so circumspectly and perfectly, expertly, wisely, such as the term prudently means or has imported into its meaning. Well, first of all, let's turn to his ministry, because I'll come back to his boyhood in just a moment. But in Matthew and chapter 22, some of what we have referred to, or at least an example or instance of opposition, and indeed this probably and no doubt sums up his public ministry and life. And as we know, Matthew chapter 22, he was opposed constantly. Matthew chapter 22, but how circumspectly he dealt. Well, he couldn't fail. Well, if he does in any respect, if he is diverted, if he is all distracted, if he fails in any way morally, he cannot be that prudent, that perfect Savior. There is no salvation. So in Matthew chapter 22, and we'll start at verse 15. Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. The term means to grip. Something fixed